Hi, and welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 52. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and we're broadcasting live on Monday, the 11th of December, 2006.
A day late, my bad. But I had a good reason. One of my real close friends had been in a car accident, so I had to go calm her down and look after her. So that's the reason why we're late. Although I'd like to put a big thank you for all the people that were listening, and sorry for the disappointment for everybody turning up and us not being here. It does happen from time to time, but we tried to be here punctual at 7 o'clock live. Well, 7-ish.
Yeah, that's why it's quarter past 7.
Yeah. So, episode 52, what have we got in store for the people?
We've got some letters.
Start it off with the letters.
Okay, Kitty Pants Mafia says, "What the fuck?" That's a quote. I'm not swearing on GamerCast.
No, we
you
don't
mean
do
no
that.
Letters. I sent one. Humph. Well, I may as well post it here too. Maybe you'll read it here, eh? Hey guys. Wow, it sure has been a while. Anyways, I've got a question for you. When playing games such as KOTOR or Fable, do you prefer to play good or bad? Personally, I find it much more rewarding to slaughter everyone. I kind of feel lame being the good guy. What do you guys think?
Well, my opinion, I've completed both Knights of the Old Republic and Fable, and I used it as a different story arc to create a type of character and choose what path I was taking. I normally go for the hero first because I like to play the hero and save the day and do everything good. My mate James can never do that because he just finds too much enjoyment slaughtering every single person he comes along, and he enjoys the aspect of being able to play a game where it shows you how you're playing by turning you good or evil. But then it is quite cool to do the whole bad side, because you just get those annoying choices and you're kind of like, right, I don't want to listen to you anymore, you're annoying, let me just chop your head off and have done with it.
So, not nice.
I do like the aspect of it, because sometimes I think the best way to play those games is not to choose. I didn't choose whether I went dark side or light side in Knights of the Old Republic the first time around. I basically ignored it and I just chose the actions I wanted to. So I wasn't majorly one or the other. I was kind of in between, and I kept coming in dark side and out light side, and it was all my choices from my personal wants of dialogue.
What you would actually do.
Yeah. And I chose them instead of thinking, I want to go dark side, I want to go light side, and try and stay 100% one, 100% the other. As someone's conversation came over, if I didn't want to help the old guy who was being bullied by these guys wanting money, then I didn't help him. But if I felt like I really wanted to, some of the times I was playing it more like a gamer, where I was looking for the aspect of what am I going to get out of this, or if I do want to get anything out of this, and exploring the storylines and the things that as they develop. And I must admit, when I played Fable, I was pretty much the same as well.
Yeah, woo.
That's a card reader. Further down. What was there? Here you go. Whoa, it lights up. Paul's just showing me his new Microsoft USB flash drive, and it flashes at you.
It goes funky lights. You can use it to like light stuff up.
It's like traffic lights going nuts.
Yeah, well, when I've not played KOTOR, but when I played Fable, I just did whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah, you don't let
and that was generally good because I'm a good person. But I mean, if I played it for a second time, I'd go, you know, uber hardcore.
One or the other.
Probably evil.
But that first attempt of wanting to have a go at something, I don't think the aspect of choosing light side or dark side should be there. Even when doing Star Wars, because you obviously become a Jedi, but you shouldn't be thinking down the realms of light side or dark side. You're an ex-Jedi trying to revive your powers and walking down the path of the Jedi again. Inherently, you start off as good, a good person, but just on, you know, normal. And then inherently you'll take on bad traits or good traits. But I do like these games, I must admit. The aspect for RPG, I do like it. It's a nice thing. I preferred Knights of the Old Republic 2 for
you
its
see,
generator.
I don't like good or evil games. I just like a role-playing game because it's so forced, it's like black and white. You know, you're either good or you're bad, which isn't realistic.
The best one would be in the sense of it's not about how good you can get or how bad you can get. It's just the fact that the aspect of the game will change determining on your actions. So maybe you'll start going down, more options will start appearing to you more through the darker side of things. The more, if you're going more that way, but you can always pull out and go in another direction. So you give your character and your avatar a bit of personality, but it's not like the whole game's based off the idea of good or bad.
No way, man, you're totally wrong. Smack! Right, Killy Pants Mafia also says, I'm planning to buy an Xbox 360 within a week or so. What would you say are the five most essential games I should buy right away? Gears of War.
Definitely.
Project Gotham Racing 3.
Definitely. Even though that was a release title, it is still holding its own, and there's only one game I think that's going to beat it.
Forza Motorsport 2.
No, Project Gotham Racing 4.
Boring. What else is there? Fight Night. Geometry Wars. Doom.
I would definitely say
Halo.
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
It's a good fun game.
Ghost Recon.
Yeah, Ghost Recon's a good game.
Viva Pinata.
Yeah, Viva Pinata for the whole fun side of things. What did I own?
Call of Duty 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So yeah, this isn't 5, but tough.
You know, the new, you got some Ubisoft stuff out there. You got the new Splinter Cell and the new Rainbow.
The new Splinter Cell apparently has gone stupidly crap.
My mate Simon's played it and he's got through it at incredible speed.
Well, they're dumbing it down.
Yeah. I feel like they've lost something there, but it's a learning experience. They might all of a sudden realise, oh, maybe we got to do something completely different again.
So and it really depends what sort of games you like, but what I'd recommend doing is hooking up to Xbox Live and downloading demos for everything.
If, to be honest, if you've got the money to be able to go out and buy five games, if nothing's jumping out and you're going, ooh, buy me.
Gears of War.
I would definitely say Gears of War is a definite, because it wants
to
play... Viva
Pinata.
So I would say...
Those are the two definites.
I would say...
Cameo. Cameo is brilliant. Especially because it's got a cooperative.
Oh, yeah. What I definitely would say is probably go with something like just Gears of War. Take it home. Get it on broadband. Download loads of demos. And have a demo fest. Go all the way through. And then make your mind up off those demos. Because that's what they're there for. To be able to help you mind, make your mind up on what seems good. Don't just
Battle for Middle Earth 2. Right, what else have we got?
The new expansion pack for Battle of Middle-earth is out as well.
Yeah, the
Rise of the Witch King.
Okay, we also had one from Darth Ura. He says, I love the show, and now I have iTunes, blah, blah, blah. I can listen to it all the time. I can leave... What? I can leave any user reviews because I forgot my Apple ID.
I think
he means you can't. Dude, you only need that little T and it like totally changes what you're saying. Right, so that's cool, but we've actually got his, you know, review of Call of Duty 3 later on.
Cool.
Killy Pants Mafia also says, left a user review on American iTunes. And don't forget to answer your question. We just did, man! Give us time!
Time!
Right, so that's letters this week. If you want to send feedback to us, you can do that by emailing feedback@gamercast.net. Posting on the blog at gamercast.net, or posting a load of stuff in the forums at portalforums.net.
Oh yeah. Right, next on the list.
A few news items. Crysis has been delayed until April to the financial year of EA starting April 2007. So it would be, you know, April 2007 to March 2008 release. So what would probably happen is it would probably be Christmas 2007.
But then, you know, sometimes people
it
have
sucks,
to realise...
It sucks, man, because it's a Games for Windows game.
Well, everyone will have Vista then, so it'll be perfect timing. Everyone should have Vista by then. If you don't have Vista by next Christmas, not this Christmas, by next Christmas, take your computer and accidentally throw it out the window and ask your mum and dad for a new one. With Vista.
Also in the news, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 will be coming out... in spring 2007 for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Portable, and Windows.
Cool. I must admit, I really did like the first one. It was, I liked playing multiplayer on it. I liked...
Carries on with the whole Mexican war thing.
Yeah. I must admit, I really like Ghost. I was never too keen on any of the other Ghosts, but this one really, really...
This one, they've dumbed it down enough that Adam likes it.
Yeah.
Which is bad for all the hardcore Ghost Recon fans, because they've wrecked the game, just like they wrecked Splinter Cell. Just like they wrecked Rainbow Six.
I like the aspect to this one of the fact that you felt a little bit more in control. The other one, you just felt like a third person run around and shoot things. Where this one, I really did feel like you could... I love the whole skidding along on the floor and, you know...
goofy, gimmicky stuff.
Yeah, it just made you feel a little bit more interactive with the surroundings. It's a bit gimmicky. Like Gears of War. Gears of War is absolutely amazing being able to hug up against all that stuff because you, as a first person, you're running around, you're trying to duck and stuff. You don't want to, you want to run in, headshot everybody. This, you really like the idea that you can skid to the floor, get underneath some stuff, and then one of those big blokes is coming over, and you wave your hand over the top of your head, shooting over the wall. It feels more like you're in the action, not just playing along with it. So, I'm a big fan.
Also, Catherine pointed out the Lost Planet pre-order stuff. Adam noticed this in-game yesterday.
Loads of goodies!
So yeah, different stores are getting different stuff, basically, for pre-order incentives. Game are getting, like, these figurine-type Dubro things.
Mm-hmm. At a bonus level card.
Which I guess is like a mech or something, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a figurine of one of the mechs that you get inside of.
H&V are getting faceplates, so a Virgin. Game Station are getting hand warmers.
And a selection of indie shop.
Selected indie shops will have some t-shirts.
Right.
So that's fun.
Hand warmers?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? What
can you actually play...
Who did Game Station annoy to get that?
Yeah. Jeez, I feel sorry for him.
That done? What else have we got?
Not really.
Okay, we're now going to do Darth Ura's review of Call of Duty 3. This is part of a new segment we do each week where we have a user... Well, listener.
A listener, yeah.
I'm in developer mode.
Yeah.
The listeners, not users.
Yeah, a listener's review on any game. So have a listen. If you feel like you want to have a go doing this, then by all means...
Email us feedback@gamercast.net.
Yep.
Anyway, on with this Call of Duty 3 review for Xbox 360.
Yes.
Greetings. Hello. I'm Darth Ura, and I'm part of PortalForums.net. First thing I'd like to mention is the graphics. They're very pretty. That's pretty much all I can say. The first time I saw this, pretty came to mind. The graphics are just, they're good. I mean, it looks almost realistic. The frame rate's good, and it's just, I mean, it's smooth. It's not enough to rival Gears of War. Gears of War's got, you know, two or three legs up on Call of Duty 3, but the graphics are still good. I mean, they could compete against Elder Scrolls 4. Very good. But the graphics are not all you're just going to get for buying this game. The new stuff that's in the game that's really cool that they added is, one of them is grenade timers. Grenades now have timers in the game. It's not much. It's about 5 seconds. And you can hold down the button. Hold it for 5 seconds. You don't let go, it'll blow up. It's a very good strategy that you have and you need to pay attention to when you throw grenades. I mean, it's strategy right there. If you have a group of people in close quarters combat, all you have to do is throw the grenade and hold it. I mean, hold it and throw the grenade, and then boom. Another cool thing that they added was, sort of, they're stepping over the bounds to an RPG, kind of. It's little scenes within the game that are like tug-of-war games. You'll find a Nazi in a corner, he'll ambush you, and you'll battle over... you know, a gun, and you'll be tugging of war trying to get, you know, power. And the way you do this is you alternately click the L and R triggers over and over and over again until a random button comes up, and you press that, he'll hit him, kick him in the nuts or something. It's very cool to have because sometimes you get tired of shooting. You don't want to shoot all the time. So it's cool to have that little thing. Another neat thing is the cutscenes. They spend money on these cutscenes, and, you know, the only way to eliminate people from not watching these is to completely delete the skip button. You have to watch these cutscenes. And, I mean, it's good because, I mean, you're learning something. I mean, it's history, but I'm like everyone else. This is one of the many World War II games that we've had. So what more can you learn from a video game that you've played over and over and over again? But the game's still good, nevertheless. The old stuff that hasn't changed, the gameplay, it's very fun. I mean, shooting Nazis in itself is pretty fun. Sorry if I offend anybody. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. But It's very good gameplay. You'll be happy with how quick and how responsive the game is. Enemy AI. Very good enemy AI. They're not stupid. Your opponents in this game will duck and cover. They will reload when you are reloading, or they'll fire when you're reloading. They'll advance, and they'll come up to you and shoot you in the head if you let them. The multiplayer. This game is going to be one of the best multiplayer games online, except for Halo 3 and Gears of War. It'll be one of the top five. There's big levels in this game. Very big. If you play one-on-one on these levels, you'll spend 2 or 3 minutes finding the guy, finding your opponent, and then the firefight would only last, you know, a few seconds. To be a really good multiplayer game, you'd have to have 4 more people playing in a level. I mean, it's real big. The other thing that's kind of bad about multiplayer is that there's a small option of levels. The levels are... There's only about 6 levels. In Call of Duty 2, there was way over 10. And, you know, those were good levels in itself. But it's not all bad about the multiplayer. The levels are still good. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff to hide behind. There's strategy. There's, you know, a lot of things. Another cool thing about the entire game is that you can drive more than just a tank. It lets you drive Jeeps. Yes, that's right, Jeeps. And the controls for driving is not that, you know, extensive. It's pretty much the same as Mercenaries. Very good. And, you know, again, it's a different thing from shooting. That's pretty much it. This is a very good game to get for the holidays. And if you like first-person shooters, this should be one of your top Christmas presents or Christmas gifts that you're going to get. Even if it's not Christmas, get this game. I'd rate this 4.5 out of 5. I mean, it's a very good game.
Okay, so that was Darth Ura's review of Call of Duty 3, where he gave it 4.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate it when people do that.
What?
Well, they use, like... if you're using a 5-star system, you can only have 4 or 5. You can't have 4.5. It's like people who do percent... and they do, you know, 99.5%. You know, because he just made the rating system out of 10 when he did that.
Oh, that's why. Your network keys been away.
Dude, we're recording the show. Stop faffing around with your pocket PC.
Sorry.
Right, if you want to send in your user review, we can accept 2 or 3 minute long reviews on any game you fancy. They can be an MP3, WMA, or WAV format. Just email them to feedback@gamecast.net.
Just make sure the volume's loud.
Yeah. I had to, like, spend 6 hours processing his thing to, like, get the volume right. Because it was only in one channel as well.
But apart from that, it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I like the fact you mentioned it was exciting. GameCast and everything. Good review.
Oh, well, we cut all that stuff out.
But no, please keep them coming. It's nice.
I cut, like... the first like minute, because it was all gibberish the first minute. So yeah, don't bother spending a minute saying blah 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 trying to make the show sound really cool. We know it's really cool.
Just jump straight into it.
Exactly. Right, anyway, next thing. I'm gonna talk a bit about sales figures.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Wii has been outsold.
Really? PlayStation?
No, not by PlayStation 3.
By the Xbox 360.
Hell yeah.
That's a guarantee, isn't it?
These are North American sales figures. The PlayStation 3 shifted 197,000 units. I think this is like within a week span, basically.
Is this about sales now or sales...
sales the week starting their launch.
Oh, for their launch, right. So it's week launch sales in comparison.
PlayStation 3, 197,000. Nintendo Wii, 476,000. And Xbox 360... 511,000 units.
I think the Xbox has two things underneath its belt. One, it's an amazing machine, got a lot of pumped up, and they pumped and hyped what's there. Instead of doing all this hype, it was like, we're just going to keep telling you again and again and again what we put in this box. And it worked. Number two, they got it out first. They were there first. So, no, I must admit, I'm quite happy to go back to 360 once I've had my Wii and got it settled in.
And in the UK, day one sales for Nintendo Wii was 50,000 units. So, I guess now we're going to let Adam talk about the Nintendo Wii for a while.
The Wii, right.
So I'll just play on my pocket PC.
Yeah, you play on your pocket PC, because I can't log in because I don't have my don't have your password. Right, got my Nintendo Wii. Alright, let's just talk about the console in itself. One thing that I really, really do love about it is the box. There are no pictures of games. At last. Were there any pictures of games on the back of the box for the 360? I couldn't remember. There were. They didn't take up very much space, did they?
I think there is.
But it was just nice, the fact they're saying, we don't need to do all this. We're just going to show you the console and the remote on one side and put Wii everywhere else.
The only
bit of info was actually on the
Wii.
One end.
Wii 360.
It should be plugged into it.
Yeah, it should just like plug in where the hard drive is, and then you can plug the hard drive into the Wii. And then that's it, sorted.
So it's got what contents of the box. Contents of the box, you've got all your manuals as usual. You've got your Wii. You've got your stand.
Wii.
You've got your transparent circular stand that clips onto it, so it doesn't look bulky or everything. It looks the same as it does, but it stops it tipping over if you've got it on carpet. You got your sensor, Wii remote, nunchuck, groovy little stand thing that you can tape to the top of your TV to hook your sensor on if you want to keep taking it on and off, but you need it actually held in place. Yeah, I think that's about it that came with it, as well as power cables and the cable to get it hooked up to the TV, which it comes with a standard one similar as GameCube, PlayStation 2 and Xbox, though the cable plug that goes into the Wii is completely different, so don't expect to be able to just plug it in where the GameCube was plugged in before and just use that cable. It requires its own cable, but there are plenty of other option cables actually out. RGB and composite cables are all out,
and component,
that's it, component, that's what I was trying to say. Component cables were all out, so they're there if you want to change and go from what was in the box.
Some feedback from the chat room.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon the box was heavier than you would have bought? Oh wait, that was from Catherine. Ignore the funny voice.
Yeah, I must admit, I was expecting it to be lighter. I must admit, the box design is really nice because it comes in trays.
No, she's talking about how heavy it is. Wait.
The box or the Wii?
Well, the box it comes in.
Yeah, I must say, it was a good weight. I was surprised. I was expecting it to be really light.
Not as heavy as a PlayStation 3, which weighs some like 250 kilograms.
In March, you guys are going to be double bagging those things, triple bagging them to stop them snapping when they walk out. Well,
come handles.
Yeah, I'm really liking the box. It comes in a set of trays, so it's cardboard packed trays. So instead of having to pull out all this packaging and unpacking it and everything like that, it's all packaged into two separate trays that you just slide out, unpack it all. I must admit, very nicely packaged. Once I got it all out, read the manuals, got it all together, you go through similar setup as you do with the DS, where you're having to put in the nickname, date, time, yourself, set it all up. First thing I did, I jumped straight in, made myself a me.
Made yourself a me.
Yeah, the me avatar.
What the hell are you on about?
It's a me avatar. It's very cool. And then I started with the game. Started off with Wii Sport.
Sports. Plural.
Yes, sorry. Plural. Sports. Wii.
You get Nintendo phoning us up, complaining we're like infringing on their trademarks and misrepresenting whatever it is.
Yes, my apologies. Sports. Sports. And
come on, faster.
Yes, sorry.
We don't have all day, man. This is a GamerCast, not some sermon in some church.
Okay, sports. Yeah, so you got tennis. I must admit, that was a bit weird at first. Took a while to get used to because I'm still learning what all the animated moves are for the controls and stuff like that. But very fun, and I must admit, I was expecting it to be incredibly easy and boring at first. I thought it was going to be fun, but too easy. I got my ass whooped first couple of times completely until I got used to it.
Pwned.
So the fact that I got pwned meant, ooh, I like being pwned. It means I've got to work my ass off to do something. Bowling, I really do like. It actually picks up any movement in the rotation when you actually pull your bowling ball back on your arm and then push it forwards, like it would do with a real bowling ball, so that it actually will put spin in. Even if you think you haven't done it, you'll get a slight bit of spin in, which is quickly jumping on something else. The bowling system for Super Monkey Ball does exactly the same thing, so I'm fairly impressed with some of the programming for this Wii Remote. Boxing, oh my god, I gotta keep doing that, I keep getting fit with that. That is real fun. I even had my dad doing it, he looked like an absolute twerp. Jumping around, he had the Wii cable smacking him in the nose because he was frantically moving his hands up to dodge blows and swinging, dodging backwards and forwards. That was quite a lot of fun. Golf's good. I must admit, you can just do a simple action, but you just stand there and you pull up your golf club, the Wii Remote is his golf club, and do a proper golf swing, and you actually get a better result than just sitting on the couch and kind of swinging your arm backwards and forwards, hoping that you'll do it. If you do the actions fully, it actually gets a nice, cleaner response than just trying to half-ass it, thinking, oh, all it needs is a bit of motion and it works. Some games you can get away with just a little bit of motion, but majority of them, if you do the action you're trying to create, it picks it up much more cleaner and crisp animation. So I must be definitely pleased with that. So Wii Sports, oh, very good. Baseball, I suck at. I just don't have the timing for it.
It's baseball, isn't it?
But definitely fun.
Play a manly game like cricket.
Then we play. Ooh, playing the shooting range, getting the old classic duck hunt ducks coming past, shooting them, shooting flying saucers and other targets and stuff like that. That was quite good. Loads and loads of games going through that were pretty amazing. Nice to gather. It kind of gave you like a tour into what the Wii's capable of, because I had to go at racing a cow. Get on a cow and you race it, and you have to hold the Wii Remote to its 90 degree angle, like you will do if you're playing a side truck or Sonic the Hedgehog. And that was quite fun to have a go at seeing what the remote response was like for that sort of game. As well as that, what else was on play? Billiards. Now, billiards was really nice.
Boring.
Took me a while to get the hang of, but playing billiards, I must admit, that was quite a nice, you know. I'll put that up there with like how I normally play Geometry Wars, where I'm just not in the mood to jump into too much gaming. I just want to play something, then put it down and carry on with what I was doing. So definitely pleased with that. And there's loads of other ones that are on Wii Play that I really got myself enjoyed. I was a bit disappointed with the fishing though. That was a little bit lame. I was hoping that it was going to be very similar to the fishing system built for Legend of Zelda, which I must admit is amazing. But no, I'm sure something more will come out. And I imagine they'll keep making these Wii games, because I think Nintendo are liking the idea of trying to push their own technologies, so I wouldn't be surprised we'll see some more Wii games coming out later, especially with the fact we've got the orchestra and drum system, as well as the playing system that was never put out on any of the Wii games.
Well, the main thing I like with all this stuff is it undercuts Sony's iToy rubbish.
Mm.
You know, it wipes that out, basically.
It's all you got to do is buy the game. No more, no less.
Well, you need to buy a console.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Once you've got the console, you have a nunchuck and a controller. You're pretty much set up to play these games. It's not like you've got to go out and buy anything extra.
The main thing Sony have had over everyone else lately is all the stupid games.
Mm.
Like iToy and all the silly things like that.
Yeah, so good party games.
This hammers their, you know, party game stuff.
Yeah.
Which is the main purpose of the Wii.
Mm. Jumping on to my next game, we had Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz.
Super Monkey Ball was good. When I played the GameCube version, like when we first had the GameCube in it, it's like, wow, man, this game rocks.
It is amazingly fun, and it is so responsive now with the remote playing the single player standard. You have the classic holding it like a remote, and you can really twist it around and get a real good response, and you don't feel like you're having to flip
if you your shape thumb. The controller really fast, does the whole world fly up and down?
Yeah. You just go nuts if you're not careful. The other thing I do like is, say for your own sake, you are really good at Super Monkey Ball, And this new remote, once you got the hang of it, you're like, God, I can pwn the hell out of this. I'm getting good score. I want a bit more difficulty level. All you got to do is hold your palm out, place the remote, and use your hand like the world and just do that. I tried it, and it was so much harder, but it was fun. It was really kind of like, whoa, this is cool. Oh my God. Multiplayable add-on games. They keep putting it more and more and more every time. 50 games this time to play with. Everything from going around shooting aliens on the moon, baseball, hurdles, golf, bowling, pretty much all the Wii stuff, Wii Sports are in there. Fencing, rock, paper, scissors, and whoever wins gets to pick up a hammer and quickly strike someone on the head before they can pick up a steel bowl and put it over their head, a steel helmet, put it over their head to, before they get smacked. You know, loads of weird, crazy stuff. Some use the nunchucks, some don't. First-person shooter where you're just running around these levels shooting each other with these really crazy guns in your little ball rolling around. There's loads and loads of cool pirate games, as well as some of the classic ones that you would recognise. Amazing. Even one that was a bit more like R-Type, where you were in a spacecraft and you're actually using the remote and swinging it from steering it from left to right like that as you're moving the spaceship backwards and forwards up and down the screen, shooting all these flying saucers that come to you, towards you. So I was amazed by the amount of small games that were built into it. Then I also had Legend of Zelda.
Oh, what's that?
My God.
What is it?
Legend of Zelda. Continuing on from the series of the Legend of Zelda series based upon the character Link.
Never even heard of it.
Saving the day of Hyrule. Rescuing the princess Zelda from the evil Ganon. Now, bad guys, they haven't gone into too much detail, and to be honest, if you're a Zelda fan, you should be owning this. If you're not a Zelda fan, but you watch someone play and you like the look of it, this is the best one yet. To be honest, I ain't going to say much more than that, because I don't really want to ruin it for anyone, because it's just... All I can say is, I've already got as far to get the sword, and I've got as far to get Slingshot and the Boomerang. Now, I was a bit disappointed with the Boomerang when I first saw the videos of it, because...
Boomerang? Are you talking about Sony's controller?
No, it looks nicer than Sony's controller. Sony's controller was scary. But, no, this one was very, very nice. I'm liking the way that it works, in the sense of it's like the Boomerang and the Whirlwind system from Wind Waker all built into one. Slingshot was real nice. The control system for the targeting with the Wii remote is so much better than I was expecting. I had these visions of trying to aim for something and my hand shaking all the time and not being able to hit shit.
Oh, jeez.
This was easier to shoot stuff than it was in Ocarina of Time. So, I must admit, I was fairly impressed with that. But riding the horse, absolutely amazing. Sword fighting, definitely glad they built it in. Unfortunately, with the Wii remote, there's none of this expecting if you swing right, you'll swing right, if you swing left, you'll swing left. It's exactly the same. Basically, moving the remote is pressing a button. Moving in any direction will press a button. If you want to do a different move, you got to move forwards, backwards, left and right. The same as you would have in Ocarina of Time and with Wind Waker. The only difference is, instead of continuously trying to obliterate your thumb joints, trying to press these buttons really quickly, it's a bit more innovative to be able to just wiggle your hand that way and then go with the left nunchuck and you do a spin attack and then push the A button to do a leap forwards, and you're not continually trying to find this attack button and pounding it like crazy. You can just swing with your wrist now and again, and you just got a nice gestural movement, and it feels like you're pushing the button more without having to screw the crap out of your knuckle joints. So much, much improved with
that. Now you just ruin your arms in general.
It's a little bit easier to be able to just gently go like that than having to go, because my knuckles click when I play on video games.
That's because you play too many.
Yeah, but I shall leave it there for the Zelda. Last game that I picked up was...
Red Steel.
Now this, I was a little bit disappointed with at first, but I think one of the things you got to say is, think of this like you only play first-person shooters on a PC, and then you have a go at playing Halo 2 on the Xbox. It's like that, going from playing PC and console going to the Wii Remote. It's just so weird. It takes a while for your brain to be able to get those instinctive movements in. I kept finding myself moving the remote too far away from the screen and getting myself spinning on the spot. You've got to get a little bit of control on how far you'll move the remote. Bar that, once I was in a firefight, I found it just as easy to headshot people as I would on a PC. It's much easier than using a controller. So that bit I did like. To be honest, I think pretty much a majority of it is the game, because playing the first-person shooter on Monkey Ball was so much easier. I found this was just made a little bit too complicated.
That's generally what a lot of the reviews have been saying.
Yeah.
Red Steel is generally not good.
It's not an amazingly great game.
If it wasn't on the Wii, nobody would buy it.
Yeah. The samurai fighting was pretty cool. It wasn't as great as I was expecting. I was a little bit disappointed, and I was really disappointed with the fact that you cannot actually use the samurai sword bar the broken one. Unless you've got close combat, you just shake the nunchuck and he'll go and stab someone. But you cannot you cannot come to swords unless you're up against a boss that has swords. So that bit I was a bit disappointed. It was kind of like, oh, I can pull out a sword and just someone in the back when they're not looking.
Catherine disagrees. She says the sword use in Red Steel is good.
Oh, I liked it. I must admit, you should have seen me. I was going freaking nuts, but I was expecting more.
Yeah, you are nuts.
I was expecting more. I really was, but... I've only had about three sword fights so far, and I was more disappointed. Yeah,
dude.
Sorry, I was reading.
Just stop talking.
I was reading what she said.
We have to address all the 10-second empty spaces in the show. Which means I'm gonna have to just make this constant buzzing noise.
The second hand sword was quite cool. I did like that. It did save my bacon a while. I must admit, I've still got to get used to it. The Wii concept is so bizarre that
it's not bizarre for
a gamer. It's going to take a little while to get used to. I must admit, I've got the whole week off. I'm hardcoring it on the Wii, and I am slowly becoming Wii developed. My muscle memory is slowly becoming Wii'd, and I now
you're going to go back to a PC and try moving the keyboard around.
Be like shaking my wireless keyboard at work. Type shit. Come on, type. But no, I must admit, bar that, it was quite good. And I am a bit, whenever I play it, I don't put it down until I die. Ah, yes. Catherine says zooming is cool. I will agree with this. This feature is absolutely amazing. If you hold down the A button while you're fighting, you will grab the gun with both hands and have a little bit more better control. If you place your hand further out, like extend your hand, you will zoom in, and once you've got your hand extended, those little movements, it's just so accurate. You're like, shoot, 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 and then you extend your hand, headshot, get the guy right between the eyes. Much more accurate than a controller is, unless you're really, really skilled. And I think this goes back to the aspect of the fact that...
Well, you've got a lot more control of it, because a controller's got, that much range of movement.
Mm.
That's got, as much range as you want to give it.
Exactly. So I can see people... with a bit of training, picking up the ability to play this game really well quicker than someone who isn't a gamer on, say, something like Halo. So I can see that even it's just dipping into that area of being able to be for non-gamers, but fair enough, these sort of games aren't going to appeal for anyone who's not a non-gamer anyway on the Wii. So you're going to get this divide of games for everyone using the Wii Remote for the gamers that play it, and then the other games that were for everybody, gamer and non-gamer.
Okay, so is that it for your Wii review?
Yes, I'm going to, if it's possible and I've got some spare time this week, I'm going to do a quick video on the digital camera of me playing on some of the games and taking a bit of a quick review around through some of them and see what I can do.
Okay, I've got a few points to make. The BBC ran the Wii thing on their news program a few times, and they basically said Sony was a big loser. But one thing that really bugs me is when Sony released all the the trailers they did back in 2005 when they announced all the stuff, they showed the pre-rendered Killzone footage and all that, they were showing off the Fight Night 3 stuff. And the BBC said, well, basically what they did is they showed Fight Night Round 3 on PlayStation 3 and then said, although the PlayStation 3 is more advanced, blah blah blah, the Wii is, blah blah blah, innovative, fun, blah blah blah, and they showed the Wii boxing game to compare them. And it just really bugs me because they always cite the Final Round 3 footage of how superior the PlayStation 3 is. It's been out on the Xbox 360 for 9 months.
Mm.
You know, the game's already out there on another console. Show, you know, show that on the Xbox 360. Don't show Dead Alive 4, which looks like rubbish.
Well, she's asking if I know my Wii number. No, I haven't written it down yet. But
Wii
I'll,
number, what's that?
You get a Wii number. If I pass Catherine my Wii number, she ends up in my address book, which means that I can...
So it's like Xbox Live gamer tag.
Yeah.
Only a number, which makes it like 10,000 times harder to memorize.
Yeah.
Clever.
But you can connect them not just to... But you can connect them to mobile phones as well.
Clever.
And email accounts.
Clever. Xbox Live or / Windows Live anywhere.
Exactly.
So, there.
And what does PlayStation 3 have?
Nothing.
Sorry, Noob Hunter came out then.
Noob Hunter.
Yeah, how is your Noob Hunter project going along?
Yeah, it's getting there. I've already started...
Have you put anything on the website?
No, nothing's on the website yet. I'm trying to get the drawings done first, and then I'm going to upload them. I'm doing the character page at the moment. I've just finished colouring in the main character, colouring the rest of them. Your hat's looking amazing. And
what hat?
Your Russian hat. The character based off you is got the Russian hat on.
Did you ask my permission to have a character based on me?
No, it was part of the small print when I gave you the 20 quid. I wrote it on every
20 quid. You owe me 20 quid.
Yes, I do, actually. I'll get you that. I'll get you that as soon as I can.
It came out of my account and I'm running low on money.
Paul running low on money.
I don't have any money.
You're going to be a millionaire by the time you're 40 if you're not careful. You're going to have to spend something.
No. I bought this computer the other day. It's 1,000 quid.
What do you mean you bought this computer the other day? You've had this computer as long as I've known you.
You know, the Core 2 Duo business.
Oh, is that finally come out of your account now? You've had that for a while.
Yeah, only a couple of months.
Exactly.
No, probably about 6 weeks. So...
Yeah.
Dude, stop reading stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just do this.
To a note to Catherine, I will find a way to send you my Wii number.
If they just had a gamer tag system, it would work better.
Mm.
Because it's like phone numbers. You changed your phone number lately, didn't you?
Yeah.
How dumb is that?
Well, that's what
they should have like a domain lookup system, like how domains are looked up to IP addresses, phone numbers.
Yeah. Well, I've managed to get Orange to give me my bloody pack code, so hopefully by next week I'll be back on the old number again.
Oh, I just spent like 10 minutes earlier on changing all your numbers over.
I told you not to delete the old one, because it's only temporary. What was she saying? My address, Paul. I was emailing him from the Wii. But the email, your email, can 360 do it? Yeah.
What? This is what she said. I was emailing him from the Wii, but I emailed your email. Can the 360 do that? No! With Live Anywhere, the 360 can do that, and it can also integrate into Messenger. So I won't even have to put my, you know, email client up.
You're going to have to get another Xbox 360 so you can have one
no,
up here.
No, I'm not buying two. If they had network storage, then I would. But I'm not faffing around having different save games on different consoles, and I'm not faffing around with swapping hard drives over because it's annoying.
Fair enough.
Okay, so is that it?
Yeah, I'll go in a bit more detail on some of the games later on.
With your funky videos?
But yeah, I haven't had much. It's only been the weekend and a smidge bit today of playing Zelda, so I've got to get into a little bit more detail.
Okay, so I guess we will see everyone next week.
Yes, next week on Sunday.